Hello, hello, everyone. It's Esther Johnson. We're back. I'm so excited about this episode. I'm like smiling and cheesing, but I'm gonna let the beat ride out for you guys. Welcome back to Speaking Arrangements, everyone. Today we have a very, 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 very special, special, special guest. But let's do some housekeeping before we get into all of that. So welcome to Speaking Arrangements. But I am starting. I told you guys that I was working on something right now. I'm changing my podcast name from Speaking Arrangements to Emotional Conversations with Esther. So that's what it's going to be going forward. So if you're looking for it, I mean, if you follow me on any podcast, whatever, then you'll know that it's going to be changed. So my brand is still Speaking Arrangements, but the podcast will be Emotional Conversations with Esther. And I feel like there wasn't a better person for me to start this with. I don't think there's a better person for me to start this journey with. So today I have a really dear, special friend to me, Miss Sharanda Hall, but we're going to let her introduce herself in a moment. But I will give you guys a, you know, a short brief. Oh my gosh, Sharanda and me met years ago, actually. And yeah, she's just always been a fly on the wall. Very quiet lady. Very quiet lady. You know what I mean? Minds her business, stands on business, minds her business. But I always felt connected to her. I don't know what's because of her like cool demeanor. I think that's like one. And to be really honest, we're going to get into this later on in the podcast, but also there was just like a strength about her that I was very, very connected to, very connected to. Like, I don't know if it's because she's an amazing mom, she's an author, she's a great wife, she's a business owner. Yeah, but she just carries life really well and she's beautiful and she stays glowed up. And I'm just like, how? Like, I don't have any of these responsibilities. I feel like I'm drowning. So I don't know what that was. And I think I just seen the way that she treated other people, and a lot of people talked so highly of her. So I was always like attracted to that. And I feel like I pushed to develop a friendship with her, and yeah, now we're here. And she's just, yeah, I feel like people don't know that we're actually friends, but we actually are. And yeah, she's given me the opportunity to speak at her, you know, a lot of her engagements, her conferences. But we're going to let her introduce herself, because I feel like I won't do you justice at all. I feel like I introduce you well. So I'm going to, yeah, introduce yourself, babes.
Thank you for your kind words. yeah, introduce myself. That's always a hard, like, whoever really knows where to start. I'm a mom. It feels like that takes up the majority of the part of my life. But I do love it. I am a business owner. I'm a skincare and massage professional as well. What else am I? Yes, I am an author. I've written 2 books so far. One is also on the way right now. I am a child of God. We cannot forget that. I won my daddy package this year. If you know, you know. So yeah, I'm definitely a child of God, as you would say, Jesus' baby girl. So yeah, I'm trying to get into that realm. But yeah, that is, I guess, me in a nutshell. I don't know what else you'd like to know right away.
Yeah. Yeah. You're getting the my daddy package.
I need it.
You need it and you deserve it. And it's yours. Yes. I forgot that you are an exceptional massage, like, artist. Like, first of all, your massages go like deep. So it's giving realm sleep. Like, yeah. Like, if you guys are looking for great massages, this lady is the one. You could talk about your business shortly, but I feel like you're so much more than your businesses. And yeah, she has 2 books. You're writing one currently. I want to talk about you, because I feel like I told you today, like, I've been in a lot of conversations about you, and I think that people have like this, they don't really know you, but it just goes back to like the type of who you are really naturally. Like, you're very reserved and quiet, and you're funny and hilarious. You have that side. You're a mom, you're on the go, and you really don't got time. Like, you ain't got the time. Okay. She doesn't have the time. 4 kids. You don't have the time. So she has a lot of stuff to do. Like, you know what I mean? So I don't think that people get a chance to know you. So I think that's why the Lord was like, bring on a podcast. I think he wants people to like actually pry into Yeah, get in your business a little bit. You know, we're going to get into some things today. But I want to start off with a few icebreakers. I want to ask you a few questions, you know. So let's get into it. I want to, okay, so the first one that I want to ask you is, if you could go meet your Heavenly Father and he was like, you know what, I'm going to send you back on earth, but who do you want to be? Who would you come back as?
Okay. This is going to sound very cliche, but I'm coming back as myself.
Yeah.
Because I don't want nobody else's drama. Like, you could see one thing, but you really don't know what is behind the scenes. And I kind of know, as hard as certain things were, I know what I've experienced, and I've gotten past some of them by the grace of God. And I don't want nobody else's. I don't think I have the capacity for it. You know, because I could pick a really rich person or someone who looks really successful, but I don't want that struggle. Like, I really don't.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with the cliche answer. I'm coming back as Sharonda. Yeah.
that would be your answer. But you know what? I like that, though, because I feel like that's still, like, really deep. It's true. Like, if you are, like, an enlightened person, then you'll know that you don't know people's struggles. You don't know what people are going through. Like, they might look successful, and I think that's just the society that we're in, right? It's like, oh, this person looks really successful. I would love to be them. But you don't know that they don't get no sleep at night. I'd be sleeping zing. Okay, listen, forward motion, glory to God, and I'd be asleep. So I ain't gonna come kill myself. I didn't kill Jesus. So, you know, glory to God to all them people that, like, do that. But no, like, I would be like, oh, I want to come back as, I don't know, somebody, like, really rich, because I'm about the money. Okay, Lord, bring me the funds. You know what I mean? So that's actually really deep that you would just come back as yourself, because you know what you've been through, and you've been through, you've been through a lot of that by the grace of God. So that's a good answer. My other answer is, what is something about Sharonda that nobody knows, but we're going to know now? Like, if people, you know, when people just, like, look at you, they, like, you know what I mean? They would never guess that you're either into this, you do this. Yeah.
That nobody knows. Well, some people may know. If you know my husband, like, he's the wild one.
Yes.
I'm really the fun one, though. Like, I'm the fun one at home.
Wow.
I'm going to go with that.
You're going to go with that.
Let me see what else.
That's fun, though.
I'm not going to tell you.
Tell us.
Why do I have to tell you?
Yeah, tell us.
Oh, Lord. No, but seriously, though, what about me that people don't know? I don't know. I don't know if that's the easiest question, because I really don't know what people don't know about me. But I really, really sincerely love to make people feel better. But that may be obvious because of my field of work, right? That may not be, like, something that's secretive. I don't know. What do you think that you see in me that people don't know? Maybe you can help me out here, because I don't know how to answer that, if I'm honest.
I think that what people don't know about you, I think there's a perception that you're pretty closed off. And I think that's, like, not true at all. I think that that's something that people don't know about you. Like, I think that the ones that bring themselves a little close, then maybe, but I think that's a perception of you that people don't know.
It's a straight face.
Yeah.
And especially if you see us together. One is like, hey, and I'm just like, hello. I don't know, there's a lot going on up in my brain. I'm trying to, like, think, what's for dinner, what are we going to do, how long are we going to be here, how long is it going to take to drive to this place? And so, yeah, so I do get that a lot. I got that a whole lot. Like, I thought you were mean. I thought you didn't laugh, you didn't smile. Yeah, don't mind the straight face. I actually really do enjoy having fun. But life is busy. There's a lot of things going up in this brain. There's a lot of planning. And, I was telling someone the other day, just call me director of affairs for all the people in my family. Right. So I'm going to use that as an excuse. So if you ever see me with a straight face, it's not because I just don't want to talk to you. I'm probably thinking about 1 million things. And I'm also learning how to, like, not do that all the time, but that's probably what's going on.
All right. Okay. I could get that, because, yeah, it's tough being, like, the director of, like, everybody in your family. Yeah. And if you know Alex Hall, shout out to Alex. Yay. Love you so much, Alex. That's her husband. That's Rhonda's husband. He's like, just like, what's up? What are we doing? Rhonda's like, hey, hi. So yeah. Okay. Okay. I think that makes sense. But Rhonda is fun though. I feel like you're super fun. Like at all your conferences, like you're so fun. You always like set up like really nice things for us to do, but we'll get into that. My last icebreaker question is what did you want to be when you were younger? Like when you were like, I don't know, let's just say like grade school to like high school. And you're like, okay, like this is my life. Like this is what I want to do. Like what did you want to be?
Okay, funny story. So when I'll take it a little younger. So my mom always brings this back up. So I think like when I was like four or something, I used to say, when I grow up, I want to be a mommy, a teacher, and a preacher like you. Just be careful what you ask for. Because I was also one very, very strong woman. If I knew what I was saying, I don't know. I don't know if I would say it. But besides that, like I was always really good with my hands. So I used to braid hair and do like anything with my hands. I did nails, hair, anything cosmetology. So I know I wanted to be in the beauty industry and I wanted to be a business owner. So I kind of started that really early. So you'd always catch me like, I don't know. Do you remember that style that was out when you like braid the front of your hair, twist the front of your hair with elastic bands and extra? Yeah. So after school, I always would do somebody's hair and then charge them $5. Or like I would, I also used to like to bake. So I'd be like baking cinnamon buns and taking it to school and charging. So I was like always had a business mindset. I remember there was this a hair braiding conference I wanted to go to. And I think in Atlanta or something, I was trying to save up the money for it. We didn't make it there. But yeah, I've always had that mindset of, you know, I noticed that, okay, I can use my hands. And so always just doing stuff with my hands. So beauty industry, business owner was always something. Not quite... kind of tweaked, like kind of come out of it a little bit more beauty wellness now. But yeah, it's always been a passion of mine.
So always essentially doing something with human beings. Always wanting to help and be there and provide a service for human beings. Okay, I love that. I love that for you. Because yeah, when I was younger, I never knew that like I was going to be in broadcasting or like, you know, that would be like what I'm so passionate about now. Like when I was younger, I was like, I want to be a teacher, which my office is like, you know, my spiritual office is a teacher. So I did want to be a teacher when I was younger, but then I found out what they got paid and I was like, no, I'm like, I need the bag, baby. Okay. And not that like, you know, podcasting, listen, you can make a lot of money out of broadcasting in general, like having a network and podcasting, like there's money to be made, but I just, yeah, like when I found out that they didn't make a lot of money, I was like, ugh. And you know what I mean? And now, like, my secret dream job is, like, I would love to be, like, a psychiatrist.
Psychiatrist? Yeah. The prescribed medicine?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And counseling, too.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, like, you do both. Like, but I would be one that would, like, you know, present holistic ways of how to like get better and stuff like that, because I'm not going to be pumping God's children with drugs. Okay. There's so many different ways on how we can heal emotional and mental health, but we'll get into that. Okay. So we're going to get right into it. So I want to talk, I actually want to talk about Still Standing. I want to talk about that book because I think that will, okay. First of all, if you guys have not, Sharanda don't do a good job telling people that she's an actual author. I don't even know how I found out that she wrote this book. How did I find out? Like Instagram? It might have been, I don't know. But she wrote this book and I read the synopsis and I'm like, oh, it's about mother, you know, being a mother and like just challenges and like different things. But I read it anyways because I'm like, support your friends. All you people out there that see your friends grinding and doing all this stuff and you're like, I support you from afar. When the money comes, support me from afar too. Please support your friends, buy their stuff, show up at their events, like help some way, somehow, throw up an idea up in there, do something. Okay. Anyways, so I bought this book, which is very, very, very powerful. Like this book has a lot of wisdom, a lot of insight. It's very, I don't know if it's okay. It's relatable, but it's, yeah, it's a lot. So I want to talk about, cause I know you guys know that she's a mommy and she has a very busy life and she's a wife also. And in this book, you talk about some of the struggles of like just being a mother and forgetting about you. So which we can do. I want to talk, and I want to correlate it also with your current business too. Women's Intuition. Shout out to Women's Intuition. Yay. Where we get to relax. So it's a Women's Intuition is a conference where you get to go relax, and Sharanda will like plan out your weekend, good food. You get to meet with other mothers, other women. We just want to, you know, it's giving meditation. It's giving relaxation. It's giving conversation. It's giving healing. I love your conferences. I get to meet up with like different women. I've met some really, really amazing women at your conferences actually. And the last one that we were at, which was at your other home, it was so nice to have your friend, like, you know, talk to us about emotional and mental health, give us some books. They really, really helped me actually just with dynamics with my bio parents. I was able to really, really like dive in and like, like your conferences have really blessed me. But before we get into the question that I have, I actually want you to talk about Women's Intermission and how it came about. And then we'll dive into your book because it really connects with your book. I feel like that might have been birthed a little bit outside of this. I know we talked about that. So tell us about what it is.
So yeah, Women's Intermission is, we basically encourage women to rest, regroup, reset, and recharge. It's not just for moms, because you could be busy with your career. You could be busy in school. You could be busy with so many things. But I don't know if it's just the woman's nature. It's so easy to put everybody and everything in front of yourself, before yourself, right? So the Holy Spirit had just given me the idea, like, just to, I also like events. So before I got super busy, I used to like help in planning like baby showers and wedding showers and that kind of thing. So he just helped me combine the passion to help people, like push them to actually go take a break, along with that passion that I had for events. What had happened personally was, so my third child, there was a lot of medical concerns and a lot of, there just was a lot. And I experienced extreme burnout. So basically I would say the burnout that a mom of a newborn would experience like in the first 2 months, it was like 3 years, 3 years, 4 years. Like no sleep, like everything. So, you know, like you forget to shower. You just eat whenever you remember to eat. You're taking care of everybody else. And it's just like, you're just like done. And I remember my mom she was visiting and she had sat me down and she was like, look, I don't know what you need to do, but children are a heritage from God. So you need to go back to God because they're not meant to be a burden. And you're not supposed to be telling everybody to do all these things and you're not doing it yourself. And she's also a very, very big wellness advocate. So she's a counselor. So she's seen it all. She's seen it happen. Like she's been firsthand and seen all of that. And so now she was seeing it with me. So like, I mean, I could give some extreme examples, but it was like burned out. I remember Apostle Emmanuel had said to me, he's like, you look like you are walking through the shadow of death. So, you know, I don't know if he was seeing like physical or spiritual what he was seeing, but it was like burned out, like complete, like didn't have a vision anymore for business, like everything. I just felt like, well, this happened and you just kind of survive. So straight up survival mode. And so I remember when she had that conversation with me, it just sparked something in me. It was that. And then I actually had gone when I went back to work because I was at home for a bit with the kids. And I literally took whatever I made. It made sense, more sense for me to be at home because of, you know, finances or whatever. So, but when I just like, no, I was encouraged to go back to work, even though basically my entire pay was going towards daycare. But it was to get out the house, girl. You got to get out this house and you're going to reawaken this vision kind of thing. So Women's Intermission, through all of that and just through my healing process and through just meditation and, you know, just time with God, it just was like, this is not just for you. There's so many other people. The situations may not be as extreme or maybe more extreme, but they don't have anybody to push them to like, go take a break, right? Take care of yourself. Like it was to the point where if I couldn't take care of myself, like everything was falling apart. Because I was not taken care of, like, at all. So that is kind of like where the whole, it came from a very personal, very personal experience of like extreme burnt out. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's like hard to, you know what? It's so interesting because you just never know what someone's going through. I think for somebody like you are legit a testament of that. Like you're beautiful. You don't look like you have four kids. Like if somebody was just like walking by you in the community, they won't know how burnt out you were. But, in your book, there's a part that you talk about. I know me and you talked about it and I just kind of want to go back to that. I remember you said that. So Sharonda said she had a daughter that, had like some medical, like a lot of like medical, you know, medical issues. And so that of course, plus your wife, plus you have a business, plus you have three other kids and all her kids are amazing. I call them the teenagers, the older ones, I call them the teenagers. Then we have Josiah, the king. Yeah, literally. And yeah, so just taking care of, like you said, like, you know, maybe being a mother of a newborn, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, okay. Like you don't get no sleep for a couple of months, but you know, with Marie, like there was, you know, it was ongoing, right? You had to, it's like caring for like two children. You know what I mean? I don't think anybody will understand, you know, what that feels like as a mother or as a father or just as a parent. You know what I mean? I don't think anyone will ever understand, but this book actually gave me some insight because I always used to ask myself how. Always used to ask myself, God, how is she doing this? Like, how is she doing this and looking good? And it's so interesting that, Apostle, which is our pastor at the church that we go to, said to you, you look like you're walking through, he's a spiritual man, so he can see that. But for us on the outside, we're looking at you like, there was some days when I would come up to him like, hey, babes, what's happening? Like, what's going on? You know, but you keep a good poker face. But one of the, man, this is, it's, I'm going to get emotional, but I'm going to try not to because I'm a thug and I don't cry. So I'll let you tell your, like, your story about Marie. I really want you to, I love her and I miss her so much and I'm not going to cry because I'm not a punk. But I really want you to tell her story because I think that I know that she was a complete blessing and to so many people. And you know what's really interesting too? People, because she was a part of us and she was like our family, you don't know how many people she's impacting. Do you know how many stories I heard? Like even Pastor David was like, this, I'm like, wow. Like, you know what I mean? Just for me, but all the interactions that I had with her and every time, like, you know, just how resilient she was. And when she smiled and like, she was sassy too. Cause she didn't mess with you. That was one thing about Marie. If you knew, you knew, you know what I mean? So I really want you to tell her story, but in a part of the book, I remember you talked about this part, you came to burnout and like you were taking care of everybody else. Everybody was going to their dentist appointments. Everybody was doing good. And your teeth started rotting. Like I dropped the book. My mouth was open. I was like, what? Like, you just don't know what people are going through. Like, you know what I mean? You just don't know. Like, people keep a good face. Like, you know what I mean? Like, for you, I know you're really reserved. You're really private. Like, people that are very, very, very close to you might know. And I even feel like people that are really, really, really close to you might not know the extensive of, like, the part. But I just kept asking God. So all I could do was pray. But it was so interesting because a lot of times when I would go into, like, my prayer time, the Lord would be like, pray for Sharonda. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I understand. You know, she got four kids. She got a family. Like, it's a lot. But I never, when I read this book, it gave me so much insight about the challenges, the struggles, the tribulation that you and your family went through. The Lord said there'll be trials and tribulations, but God, you know what I mean? It like just your testimony alone, because you have a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful family. Like I said, Marie was like, you know, just a blessing to us, right? But I really want to talk about when, from the point where Marie was coming and you got rushed to the hospital, because me and Sharonda go to the same church. So we really know each other. And yeah, you could just kind of start from there and just like, tell us how, because I want to get to the point of healing. Right. But I also want any mother, any father that is listening To really go get this book by Sharonda Hall. It's called Still Standing, because it talks about the shame that it comes with as a parent when you think that you're not a good parent. When you're tired and you want to take rest, but you can't, to the point where your teeth are rotting because, you know, you have a child that, you know, has special needs and they need more attention from you, or just children in general. Like, you know what I mean? You're trying to figure yourself out and you feel guilty, because I know you talk about that in a book too. And yeah, I just want you to tell us what that season of your life looked like, to the point, and then we'll get into the healing and how you used the you know, the tribulation to kind of overcome. And now Woman's Intermission is birth out of like a very deep, dark, personal place, right?
I didn't know he was going to bring up the teeth thing. I almost said it. I even forgot it was in that book. So this is the part. So I grew up, but my mom was, she was like we weren't allowed candies. We weren't allowed like a lot of fast food and all this stuff. And she was very like strict on that kind of thing. And so that's the same kind of thing I started to implement. And so, but I remember this year, like, I was so nervous that the family was going to the dentist, and I was so nervous. Oh, the kids have been eating candies. I don't know. We're going to have to pay for fillings and all this stuff. They're going to have cavities. So I remember one kid went, oh, teeth are good. Teeth are perfect. Second kid went, same thing. My husband went, same thing. Yeah. I go and they're like, first of all, I used to eat very healthy. I did not eat candies. I did not drink pop and all that kind of stuff. I stayed off the sugar, especially at that point. And they're like, oh, you need a root canal here and this is happening there. And I'm just like, me, the mom that doesn't let anybody else eat stuff? But sorry if it's TMI, but what was pretty much happening is like, I'd make sure everybody, okay, it's time for bed, brush your teeth, get ready, take a shower, go to bed. Make sure you're not eating, this is your like full balanced meal, go eat that. Then I'll be like picking whatever was left, if I even ate, because while they're eating, I'm probably trying to like, I don't know, either deal with Marie or like clean something or do something. And then, we'll get into like a little bit more of the health concerns, but with her, then it was hard to get her to sleep. So I'll put the other two kids to bed, and then I'm just there trying to rock her, trying to calm her, and then I crash with her. I haven't showered, haven't washed my face, haven't brushed my teeth, haven't done nothing. So that's what happened. So this happened for days on days on days on days. Like I said, like kind of like what happened in that initial month when moms are like, oh, I forgot about myself. And then, no, it was a long time. So that's kind of like, and that was like the wake up call. It was like, what? How? No, like you've never had cavities all your life to be an adult who still doesn't eat all this stuff to now neglect themselves to this point. So that was like a slap in the face. So that's kind of like, what was that part? And you want to go way back. You're taking me way back to the beginning. Yeah, I am. Okay, so I had, so both my first and my second children were in the NICU. First one was preemie. He was in there for one month, 4 weeks. Second one, she was considered, they were born in the States, she was considered small. She was full term, but because it was C-section, something where she needed oxygen or something for a few days. So my first real struggle was, oh my God, my first baby is in the NICU. That felt like a failure on his own. And they kind of took him because they felt he wasn't growing in the womb or whatever. And they said maybe, you know, sometimes they strive better on the outside. So they took him early. The second one, she came, like I said, she just, she came full term, but she needed some oxygen. So she was in for maybe 3 days or 4 days, something like that. But that struggle was, she was in for Christmas. Wow. Right? So it was hard. Like, I got discharged on Christmas Day and I had to leave my baby there. So that was that one. And so now comes baby three and I'm like, oh God, this one. No, not this one. Yeah. She's gonna, you know, like everything's gonna be well and all this stuff. And so here we are. We were going to dinner. We're going for our last dinner. We call it the last supper before the baby came. I got all dressed up and I used to make this joke, like, because you started to, this was social media, everybody was showing all these stuff on social media. So you see these women made up and I'm like, my next baby, I'm going to have makeup on. I really liked makeup at that point. No time for that now. Anyway, so I was like, I'll be made up and all this stuff. Yeah, be careful what you say. I literally was made up because that night we were having dinner and something was not right. It just was not right. And again, probably TMI, but I had never really experienced contractions because they were, I've only experienced like C-section. So I didn't know what a contraction actually felt like. I just know something was off. I'm in pain. I just thought it was contractions. And I was like, I remember telling my husband, I'm like, this baby's coming tonight. Anyway, long story short, we had to rush to the hospital. I was in so much pain. So what had happened, I had a placental abruption. They said 90% of the people who has that is because of drugs or what was the other thing? Like a hard blow. Like if someone like literally punched them in their stomach or like a really like trauma, like maybe a car accident, of which neither of them. And then the doctor was like, yeah, and 10%, we don't know why. So I was in the 10% of we don't know what happened. And this caused brain damage at birth. So we get in and they're like, we don't know what's happening. First of all, I didn't look like I was in pain. So I thought it should be more of a rush, but they said I didn't really. Later, I find this out later that I didn't like I looked like I should be screaming down the hall or something, but I wasn't. So they were like, we don't know what's happening with your baby's heartbeat. It's extremely low and we have to go in now. So yeah, so now I'd experienced two kids in the NICU and now they're telling me, oh, we don't have the facilities at this hospital. So she needs to go to the other hospital. So now not only is this baby that I was like, oh, she's going to finally be in the room with me. She wasn't even in the same hospital. So she was sent to another hospital and they literally didn't know she was going to make it through the night. Let me see if I can like shorten this story because it's just so much detail. But basically, like I said, there was a lot of brain damage. And at that point, they don't really know what it will look like. And that's literally, girl, that's the only thing we had to hold on to was our faith. Because there's nothing. Like, we don't know if she's going to make it through the night. She was, they just said it to me calmly, she was a little pale when she was born, but she looks better now. What they meant was she was dead. She was blue. And I never seen a black person turn blue, but she was blue. And they had to do CPR for 8 minutes. And they had 2 more minutes before they called it a stillborn. So that's what had happened. And the journey started. It started. So she spent, oh my gosh, she spent a month in the hospital. And then then she was diagnosed with it. I think they didn't do the diagnosis until 2 years, but it was, let me see if I get this term right, quadriplegic spastic cerebral palsy, which really means she really didn't have control of any of her limbs. We literally did everything for her. They wasn't sure how much like of eyesight and hearing and all this stuff. So like the ears are like filled with this test and that test and PT and OT. And I'm saying it like this, but we were all there for it. Like anything that needed to be done, we were there for it. Like, so, because you know, at first it was like, no, God's going to heal her. But then God heals her in so many different ways, which we now know different ways. Sometimes we don't like. So, we still wanted to incorporate every single, thing that was available, but it took me a while to get there. I didn't have a lot of faith in the healthcare system. Yeah. So it took me some time to get there, but yeah, we were there for it. We were there for the journey. It was a long journey. How far, where do you want me to go?
Yeah. So, okay. So now we get to the place where you're like, okay, like you were there for everything. And yeah, like Marie's first of all, beautiful. Beautiful, looks just like you, literally. Beautiful hair, just a beautiful smile. And so we get to, because like you said, it's very extensive, but I want us to get to the healing part, right? So I want you to talk quickly about how caring for Marie, essentially, I know you talked about how it affected you personally, but how did it affect your other kids? And how did that make you feel? And how did it affect your marriage? And like, how did that make you feel, right? And then we'll get into the healing part and how you kind of birth women's intermission out of that.
Yeah, so I remember, yeah, I won't even lie, the early stages, if I'm being straight up transparent, it was almost like, this is the only kid. Because my mind was completely like wrapped around, how did this even happen? What is going to happen? What is the future going to look like? And then it just took extra time to deal with it. So she took a lot of time. And then you can imagine a mom being burnt out naturally without something going on. So imagine there was a lot of, I won't call it regrets because I learned from it. But a lot of times I felt bad, maybe the way I answered the other kids, because I was busted, right? Trying to do all of that kind of stuff. So the healing kind of started when, like I said, that conversation I had with my mom, and it was like, and also with my pastor and my husband, and he's amazing. Like, he is, like, I am so appreciative. I've seen situations like this, like, tear marriages up, like, tear it up. We disagreed on many things. We agreed on so much more, but, he was there hands-on. From day, in fact, I was like, even with all the things that, even in her state, I still think like he was her favorite. Like the way they had this bond, like they just had this bond. So he was very, very, very hands on with her, with the other kids as well. So I'm so. It could have gone another way. Like it could have actually gone another way. So as far as the marriage went, it had its toll. Like we had to talk about, like every night we'd be like, okay, what's happening tomorrow? Who has to go here? Oh, she has an appointment. Well, this one has to be here. So it was so involved, but I'm glad that it made us stronger. It actually did, rather than go the other way. And I can't take credit for that. There were people praying for us, for sure, because I couldn't pray many days. As far as that, and as far as the kids go, there were times where, yeah, I'm sure it affected them in that early stages where it's like, there was just so much involved with her. So we had to be conscious about getting them also involved, but they also had to miss out on many things. So either they missed out or one parent would be there, or, and I had a village. I'm not even gonna, there were people that stepped up. I could be like, hey, can you take the kids for a weekend? Hey, can you keep them? Or they just even offer? Because it was, in that stage, it was easier for someone to care for them for them to care for her. If that makes sense. I'm sure it affected them, because, and also I was wondering if it was affecting their faith, because it was like, you know, we're praying for her to be healed and all this stuff, and they're looking like, well, you're telling us about Jesus that heals, and then when is he going to heal her? When is he, like, we get these questions. So it affected many different things, but I won't lie, it made them strong. Like, I see it now. I don't pity them. I don't pity myself either, but I don't pity them for... at first, I was like, oh my God, they're growing up so fast. I'm making them do stuff that they didn't have to. But the responsibilities I see that they can take on now, like, you know, everything works together for our good. So some things I wish they didn't have to go through so early, but I see the benefit from it now.
I love that because... And... As Sharanda tells her story, this is not necessarily, she's speaking from the outside, because while you're going through it, you know, you're not like, oh yeah, my kids are going to learn responsibility. You're just like, you're panicking. You're like, oh my gosh, like I'm going to traumatize these kids. This is a traumatizing situation, because being on the outside of that, I told you how I felt, right? Like I was like, God, we're praying for healing. Like what's happening? Like, you know, in my head, because I'm way more enlightened now. But, you know, before I was like, Lord, like what did they do? Like, you know, in the Bible, you know, when Job, his friends come and it's like, oh, you must have did something. You know what I mean? He's like, I didn't do anything. I was a righteous person. Like, what are you talking about? But I was like, Lord, I know this family like loves you and they serve you so diligently. Like, why are they going through this? You know what I mean? I was like, Lord, like you can't offload some of this burden from them. Like, you know, just like every Sunday seeing Marie, like, you know, it's just like, Lord, we're praying for healing. And there was prophecies of her being healed and being seen, and now we know, like, you know what, like, you know what it meant. But I want to fast forward to like a day that I don't know. You could tell us if you saw it coming or if you didn't, because I never in life like never in my life seen that coming. So you're at work, I think, and you get an interesting call, correct? Am I right? Because I got it from Alex. I might have got like another story, but yeah, so Marie transitions, right? But I want you to take us to that day, if you can, if you feel comfortable. Because I want any of the parents that are listening or anyone that has a, that is a caretaker, because that's a role that you take on too, right? Becoming a caretaker. I don't think that there's enough resources for people that are caretakers. Mothers and fathers are caretakers, of course, and siblings, and we help each other. And it's a village, right? But when you are, that's kind of the role that you take up. I think that's such, there's such a gap when it comes to resources for that. Cause that alone is like a beast on its own, right? But I want you to take us to that day. Like, what were you doing? How did the morning start? Like, what was it, like a regular day? Like, how, yeah, if you can leave all the details that you don't want to tell us.
Okay, so I'm not going to promise you I'm not going to cry. So do my best. Okay, so, and no, I did not see it coming at all. Of course, when you now look back, you know, what do you call it, hindsight? Yeah, hindsight. But no, there's no way. Because there's prophecies. This is her year and healing is coming this year. But we better ask what these things mean. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it is so interesting. And this is, I'm not judging when I say this. I don't know how people are doing this life without Jesus. If it was not for my faith in the fact that he loves me and knows the best for me, first of all, we wouldn't be having this conversation, right? So we were in the process of moving. Yes. And we were looking for a specific place for her, because she was getting heavy. And while we were not accepting the condition as this is it, but you know, there's still wisdom. My body was hurting. We had to like lift her up and all that different stuff. And so we were looking for a specific place. We were looking for a 5-bedroom with a main floor bedroom and a main floor bathroom. And we could not find one that worked like with everything, but cut the long story short, we found a 4-bedroom with a main floor bathroom and bedroom. And cause that was the main thing that we really needed as a family to keep functioning. And the boys were going to share. Now the boys were at this time, like what, 5 and like maybe 4 and 11. It's a gap, right? But they're boys, because they're gonna have to share. So we're trying to like, yeah, God, we just, you know, it's gonna be, we have to share for a while and da 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 da. And so we started to like move our things and all that stuff, and we did it over a few days. But we left the big furniture for like the movers, right? In the last day, I tell you no lie, the movers had just put the last piece of furniture in the house, and they were like blocking us in the, like we were in the driveway and they were like right in front of us. And as they walk out, like to go to the car and to tell me that they're done, then I get a call. And that's how it all went. And, you know, I never made it in time to see her still alive. And that was really hard for me. Yeah, that was really, really, really hard. So I was encouraged to, like, you know, thank God for really good people in a good village, that not to discount that moment. Like, don't let that moment discount everything else we've done, right? But, of course, not in that very moment. I didn't think about anything at that point. Who wants to get any message like, come now, da, da 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 da, and the words still ringing, like, you know, there were, like I said, when she was born, and first of all, in that moment, we didn't know, we just told come now, so didn't know that she had transitioned, or I don't think her spirit actually left at that point and all that stuff, but it was like, come now, it's an emergency. So the time we got there, paramedics was there and all that stuff. And we were 20 minutes away, 15 to 20 minutes. Remember, I told you, they don't do CPR for a long time, right? So when she was born, it was 8 minutes, and they would have stopped at 10 at least that's what I was told then at that particular place. So we're on our way, and we're praying and not knowing what's happening. And we had like an oxygen tank. She just started on oxygen at home for a bit. I don't want to get into all of that part, but Alex is like, should we go to the old place yet? I'm like, no, let's just go straight. If they get there, they have that stuff. Let's not delay. And then when we're there, it's like, I swear it was like an extra 30 minutes. So it's like, you know, but you don't know. Until they say, oh, we're so sorry for your loss. Like, what? Like, yeah, so that's not any words anybody wants to hear. No mom wants to hear that. Right? So, yeah, so in that moment, I don't even remember. I just know we were crying. And girl, I used to hear people say stuff like back home, they phrase it, your belly break down. Oh, my belly broke down. All I could say was, excuse me, I need to use your washroom. That was a very interesting, very, very, very interesting day. But as the healing started, and it was not that moment, don't get me wrong. Yeah. It took a while. So I'm speaking now as someone who is, you know, at a certain stage in the healing process. So don't think like I was thinking this like day one. But when you do the math, like, we were getting this place for her. We were looking for a 5. We found a 4. Like, God didn't even let her step foot in the house. She never came to the house. Like, never. So it was almost like, okay, guys, I love you, but I'm out of here and I need you to move on. And it's like, what? Right? And because it was literally no memories of her in that house. Yeah. At all. Right? And so certain little pieces along with, major, 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 major support. like major support. Started the healing journey. But it's the ability to, like, when you start to process it, allow the process, because the processing was hard, girl. Like, what do you want to think about it? Like, you just want to, like, you just, like, in the days, like, I don't know what's happening. But as you started to process it, you kind of, I'll just put it like this, all things work together for your good. And it was almost like, it felt like she gave us a gift. Like, it makes no sense, but it does, kind of thing. You could tell me how far, like, where else you want to take that healing story.
That's so interesting that you said that, because I want to give you guys, like, okay, so I go to church on Thursday and I pull up and there's paramedics and, like, close by, but there's always paramedics close by because low key our church is in some interesting areas. Glory to God. You know, it's just so that we could help the community, you know, but I'm like, but I had, you know, when you said your belly fall, I just had a bad feeling going to church that day. I was like, what is happening around here? I'm like, oh, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just like being heavy, whatever. I walk into the church. I walk to the back where I always sit and I see Alex. Instantly, I knew. Just instantly. He didn't say nothing to me. He wasn't doing anything out of the regular. He didn't. And the funny thing is, he didn't look. He wasn't crying. He wasn't doing anything. I went up to him and I'm like, she's gone, right? And he's like, and he started crying. I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, we were just crying. And he's like, yeah. Like, she's okay, though. She's like, good. And I'm like, so I'm like, what? How? Like, what's happening? I'm like, why are you here? Where's Sharanda, right? And he stayed the whole service, and I was so angry. I was so mad at him. I'm like, why are you here? Like, you don't have to do this. Like, you don't have to be here, you know? Like, you can go home. And he's like, no, I want to be here. But the way I seen that man, first of all, let me just talk about how I was healed through her. Because the way he cried that day, I'd never seen a man cry like that before. That was healing for me, because I've had so much trauma with men, but just, and because me and my bio father don't have a good relationship, to see a man weep for his daughter that way blessed me. And just like, there was parts of my heart that just needed to see that. And I know that I was like, everything works together for our good. And I never really, to be really honest, even though I've been a believer for a really long time, I never really believed that, because I just come from such a traumatic background. And I was like, God, if you're so good, why? And that day I was like, God, why? Like, she's the blessing. Like, you know, so many things. She was going to be like the head of so many things, but she had already did everything that she was supposed to do. And she's like, I'm out of here. Like, I'm here. I conquered. I'm gone. Like, y'all can stay down here. It's ghetto down here. I'm going to be with my father. But it's so interesting how somebody else's pain, that's how God works. I always say God is a comedian. Someone else's pain can be blessing you at the same time. I have never seen a man, first of all, Alex is like 6-something, big, tall guy. Like, he's not a little man. He's a huge man. But to just crawl over into his friend's arms and weep, like, he was weeping from his stomach, from his spirit, like, something was taken from him. You know what I mean? And it's just so interesting that in that moment that I didn't know, but because I was just weeping with a brother, but it blessed me though, because I had never seen a man weep for his daughter that way. Like, I love you. Like, I'm sad you're gone. Even though I know you're going to be with the father, part of me is gone. And like you said, they were Ace Boon Coon. Anytime he'd be talking to her, she's smiling. I said, all right, Missy. I'd be going, I'm like, what's up, Marie? She's looking at me like, girl, bye. Ain't got time for you. Like, I would have talked to my dad, right? So Marie transitions, and I want to give you guys a little context. So Marie transitions, and if you guys know anything about CCG members, they're happy, they go lucky, great. So I don't do funerals, and I wasn't going to go to Marie's day of celebration. So you guys are like, wear colors, da 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 da. So I'm mad at this point. I'm still upset. I'm not asking God anything. I'm just pissed, because I'm just like, how could this happen? Like, how could this happen under this leadership, how, Lord, we've been praying. You said, like, you know what I mean? And I was just really upset, but I was really going by the motions, because I didn't like want to like be like, oh, Sharanda, like, I'm so upset. Like, excuse me, my daughter just transitioned. Like, that's not about you. So, you know, the Lord's like, go to the day of celebration, but help, like, you know, do something to like keep yourself busy so that you don't whatever. So I'm like, okay. So I come right at the time. I didn't want to see anything. So I come right at the time where, you know, the service starts, and the service is a worship service. So I'm even more angry at this point. I'm being as transparent as I possibly can. Like, I hope this provides healing for someone. I'm pissed. I'm angry. Like, as they praise more, I'm getting more mad. And I'm like, all right, whoa, are you Judas, man? What is happening? Why are you so mad? And I'm like, God, seriously? You want to fabricate this like this is a blessing? This is not a blessing, Lord. Like, Marie's not here anymore. She doesn't get to be with her family. And we don't get to see her run, skip, jump, and healed. And just a beautiful little girl that she is. And you took that from us. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I felt. I felt like we were robbed. And on top of that, I was like, you really just never know what you have until it's gone. Like, she's like our baby. So it was like, you know, you see her every Sunday, you see her every Thursday, you see her, like, if you come to the house. So I'm angry at this point, but I'm trying to hold it together for Sharanda and them that day. I'm trying to like put on a smile, and everybody's like laughing and cackling, and they think it's like a happy go day. And I'm like, so Apostle, of course, we love you so much, Apostle Emmanuel. He goes up there, he's like cracking jokes. That's what he does. He's great. I'm just like, why are you cracking jokes? This ain't funny. So, you know, I didn't go to the burial site. I was like, there's no way, I'm not doing that. So everybody goes and comes back, but the demeanor changes now. People come back looking and feeling how I felt at this point. Now it's like, okay, it's real. There's no hallelujah clap here. Like, we had to leave her behind. And that's what someone's like, I'm going home because we had to leave her behind. I can't process that. And she's like, it's cold today. You know, she's like, and we had to leave her there. So that's what took me out. And I couldn't do it anymore. And then I saw you, and you came around the corner. You're like, girl, what's wrong with you? I was like, are you crazy? What is wrong with you? You crazy woman. Like, are you going to acknowledge that like Marie's no longer here with us? Like, is someone going to say something? You know what I mean? But I want you to tell people what you told me that day. You were like, why are you mad? Don't be mad. She's in a better place. Like, da, 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 da. That started my healing, because I was so angry at God. When you said that to me, the Holy Spirit's like, bro, like, you don't know half of it. All you know is that you're caught up in your emotions and you're sad and you're upset and you have the right to be. And you can come to me. And that's what you said. You're like, go to God about it again. And I'm like, how is the person that's mourning? Girl, people are, we're so selfish. We're so selfish we are like so selfish. But I want you to talk about how Marie's transition turned into like a blessing for you. And if anyone's listening that is going through something like this, like, I want you to tell them that there is light at the end of the tunnel. And I also want you to be as transparent, because I think that sometimes, especially as believers, you know what I mean? It's like, all right, no, everything, God works everything for our good. Like, you're okay. Read a scripture. You're going to be fine. Go do some meditation. But I want you to talk about your dark days too. And the days when you're like, okay, God, I'm pissed. Like, what are we doing? Because I think that's communion. Like, you can, when someone's like, for me, I didn't hide that from you because we have that rapport though. You know what I mean? I told you, I'm like, this is how I feel. I'm pissed. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know why you guys are laughing and happy and why are we not wearing dark colors? So I want you to really talk about that so that other people can know. Cause I think a lot of times we're angry and shame. Like, we're mourning and shit. We think we're the weakest link if we feel any type of emotion or whatever. So I really want you to talk about that and let people know that it's okay. Like,
so, you know, like how it says, in everything we give thanks, right? Yeah. And I don't think this was initial. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Also, don't make me sound like a monster. Girl, we cried.
I know you guys cried.
But I think the encouragement, there were so many psychologists around me. My mom was a counselor. Pastor Emmanuel was Pastor Emmanuel. So, like, there was, we were encouraged to cry. And I think a lot of times there's nothing wrong with wearing certain like dark colors to a funeral and mourning and whatever, but I, being in the situation now and looking back at other ones, I think a lot of people just don't intentionally go to grieve. And I don't know, I'm not saying there's a right or wrong way, but it's easier to just stay busy, and then certain like things start to trigger things, right? So I don't know, I know with us, we were told to cry. Don't act strong for your kids. You all cry together. Like, we cried. Like, we cried. My husband was funny. He was still trying to work remotely. I'm like, what are you doing, right? But it was just such a weird time. We were trying to clean up the old place. We were there crying and vacuuming. And it was just like... Yeah, so by the time the day of celebration, what did we call it? The day of celebration. No, celebration of life, yeah. Right. So by the time that day had come, it was like, I think, 2 weeks. So we had 2 weeks of crying. And then I still cry, obviously. I'm crying now. But I remember something that was said to me. You cry, you think about her, you intentionally think about her, you cry. You worship, you thank God for certain things regarding her, and you wash, rinse, repeat, and you just keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. And your crying will get less and your laughter will get more. And I think it had to do with our intention. Perhaps if I was single, then I could have easily just crawled into bed. I have three other little humans looking up to me for stuff. So yes, in that initial phase, I'm not thinking about that. But as you know, I start, like, as the brain starts to get less foggy, it's like, what do you want? Like, you want to get through? You want us to get through together? You want them to use this situation for their better? So I took the advice I was given, because I could have easily discounted it and just try to ignore it and brush it off, and then it'll come up 10 years later, right? And it'll be like a new wound kind of thing. I never really, really, really experienced somebody that close, like, you know, past. So, yeah, I don't even remember the question, sorry. But, by the time this, we decided, like I said, Alex and her, like, we like to, at home, we like to enjoy ourselves, right? And If Alex around, it's some type of, it's loud. No, let me don't blame it just on him. Alex, Josiah, and Shade around, it's not quiet. Any of them, right? So, and like I said, he used to have like these dance parties with Marie and that kind of thing. So it was literally just, we had to thank God for lending her to us. Yeah. It was perspective. It didn't happen overnight. It did not happen overnight. Because I think we came back and changed it. Like we came and said, hey, by the way, where are these colors? It wasn't like an initial thought, right? So it was like, no, we have to, you know what? What are we going to do about it? We can't bring her back at this point. And this conversation is had through tears, by the way. This is not had the way I'm saying it. Yeah. And it's like, we have to celebrate her. He didn't have to. How did we even make it through that time? Yeah. I could have literally been dead. Like, our marriage could have been over. Yeah. Like, later on when I was doing some counseling, I was advised a pastor had asked me if I could, like, he was helping me. Yes, in every one of those negative situations or whatever happened that year, in those months, like, what could I thank God for that month? And I was like, nothing. Like, it was this and it was this. And then he started to help me. He was like, what about that? What about that? What about that? And I keep going to the marriage part because I know, like, I'm thinking about three couples right now that whose marriages were destroyed because their child had some medical issue. Yeah. It is traumatic. It's very traumatic. Like, extremely traumatic. Mm-hmm. And so we had no other choice but to give God thanks. Mm-hmm. Now, was I my happiest and my most jumpiest? No. But I forced it. Yeah. Absolutely forced it. Yeah. But like you said, when we came back from the cemetery, oh, that's when it hit, though. Mm-hmm. It was totally different. It was totally different. And Shirley cried there. Yeah. And, but I think it's just perspective. And it was really important to me. Things happen in life. Like, did we want that to happen even from birth? And then I had a hard time. I'm like, dear Jesus. Like, she started a life with CPR and ended a life with CPR. Like, seriously? Like, we couldn't do this any other way? Like, this is how you had to do this?
Yeah.
Like, it could have been so much nicer, right? Or whatever. But I think the desire to heal, the desire to, I don't want to use the term be strong for my kids, because that was not, it was not about hiding emotion, but the desire to show them resilience and to let them know life ain't easy. Mm-hmm. I think all of that together and the support, it's the support. There's no way I'm taking credit for literally some people packed us up, moved us, whatever was left. Moved us, did cleaning, brought food, just showed up. Like, and I always thought I'm private, and I would have not thought I wanted to see people during that time. But the way I just drew strength, I don't know if you've been in a situation where you can't pray. Like, there's no, I've been in many of those, like many. And you know, someone's praying for you, right? So I literally like just drew strength and energy. From people. Wow. So, and it's literally the grace of God. I still sometimes I'm like, did this really happen? Mm-hmm. Like, did this happen? How did this happen? So, yeah.
I love that. I love that you're highlighting, we talked about emotional health and emotional and mental health. And I think that we're in a society right now where if you are going through those things and you don't have the community and you don't have the village, a lot of times like medications are prescribed to you. Like, you know what I mean? But we thank God for grace. And I always tell people, like, even if you're not a believer, find community. You know what I mean? Like, you belong. We want you here. You matter. And sometimes it starts with you. You got to become your own community before other people are drawn to you. But I love that you had, because it takes a village to raise one child. So when you have all these things going on, and by the way, while she's doing this and she's going through this tragic moment, she's helping other people. Yes, people are helping her, but Sharonda is always helping someone else do something. Like, and it's not only her family, like, multiple times I will be down bad in the valley of the shadow of death. Bing! Hey, I'm just thinking about you, sis. I love you. What are you doing? Hey, I was thinking about you. Like, I'm a words person. I'm a communication person. So that's major to me. You know what I mean? And you've always been that for me as a, you know what I mean? Like now I kind of understand that notion that people say, like, you don't have to talk to your friends all the time, but if you guys are connected spiritually, I believe that. I definitely, like, you know, we get to see each other. If we want to hang out, we can, like, whatever. But I just know that you were praying for me in my dark times. And it's just so beautiful to know that we need community and you need people around you. And I want to talk about friendships. I want to talk about friendships really quickly because we're getting into it today, guys. Honestly, we're going to get into it. So, okay, let's talk about, I want to transition to friendships because you're going through this. Your daughter transitions and you have a very, very special friend, your best friend. If you know Sharana doesn't like roll with beer geldem. Like, you know what I mean? She's a mother. Like I said, she's a business owner. She does a lot. But there was just one person I always saw you with. And I was just like, okay, that's her ace boon coon. That's her, you know what I mean? It's her right hand. So you're going through all this and your friend is helping you, you know, and then tragedy hits again. Right. And I want to celebrate Ashlyn because I miss her so much. I miss her so much. Like you, I honestly have never had anybody like close to me, like Marie and Ashlyn transition. So your daughter transitions and then you have your friend help you plan everything, is there for you, is like, she's a teacher. She's a healer because that's what she is, not was, legit is. So you have your friend and just in her beautiful light, just helping you get through everything, giving me updates in her teacher fashion. And she's your community, a big part of your community, because she was like orchestrating, sending messages to people because you just couldn't do it at that time. And then tragedy hits again. Like I'm still processing this, like as we speak. Like, because I'm not fully done processing Marie either, but I learned that I need to process things and I feel like I don't process things, but I'm still processing this. So I want to talk about friendship and I want to talk about Ashlyn and who she was to you, who she is to you, and how having to, you know, bury your daughter. And then having to also let go of your best friend that you, 20 years? Were you guys friends with? Like, I don't even know there's a time on it. But tell me how trying to heal from Marie, because we knew that Ashlyn wasn't feeling her best during this time too. She was also going through like a lot of things, right? But she's like you because she kept a very strong poker face too. And I would always like get at her about that. I'll send her like long voice notes like, Ashlyn, da, 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 da. And she's like, baby, come on, honey, it's okay. Like, you guys had to be sisters because you guys are so similar. But we talk about losing a child, but I want you to talk about how it feels to lose a big part of your community. So you know how you said that you are the, like, you run everybody's life in your family, how she essentially was helping you run yours, and then you lose that, and all in the same year.
Yeah, you're doing a lot right now.
Sorry.
So to put it into perspective, so when Marie passed, aside from having to inform my parents, like, she was the one person I told. Because I was like, I can't have you finding this out in a mass, like, you know, email or whatever, message. I'm also still processing. The void is felt. It was funny because she made me sit back in regards to, like, planning the whole, like, funeral stuff because... I told you earlier, like, I like to plan stuff. So it was hard to, I didn't want to plan this one, but it was like, she'd be like, you just tell me what you want. And she handled everything, like every single detail. So it was July, and then 5 months later. Oh, it was extremely. I thought still sometimes I'm like, where's my friend? So yeah, we met in kindergarten. She's my maid of honor, and we knew each other obviously before we knew our husbands and all that stuff. So, and for the first time, it's so ironic when we moved, when we had moved that day. So all our life we had lived far, like when we lived back home, we were like two separate parts of the island. Then she was in Toronto, I was in Edmonton. And when she came to Edmonton, she was like west, I was east. Like, we never lived close together. And for the first time, we're like 5 minutes from each other. Like, the day, like, I started, like, God knew I needed her. She was here every day. You know the people that don't, there's no need to call. You know those friends that, like, they have the code to your house. I remember when I had her kids, like when she was in the hospital, whatever. And I was like, I just made a joke. Something she was saying about checking on the kids. I was like, yeah, you didn't check on your kids. She's like, oh, I know they're good. You know those people? Yeah. That's blood. That's not friends. That's not friends, right? So that's the one person that, like there are people I trust, don't get me wrong. I have other friends. I didn't build my circle too small. Mm-hmm. It's small, but not too small. And I trust them, but I have to explain so much to get to the point. But you know, when someone just knows everything, they know the history, they know exactly where you're coming from. So I could just pick up the phone and start a conversation that we were having like 2 months ago, right? Or something like that. So that void was heavy. That void was felt. Because she's the one I want to talk to when she passed. Because who am I going to tell this to? And I'm trying to talk to my husband and he's not answering me correctly. Like, this is not what you're supposed to say. This is not working, right? So, I was just like, seriously, God, like what? What is all this? This is a lot. Like, this is a lot. This is a whole lot. And also unexpected, because even though like there were health challenges, it was on the upward climb. Like, it was not. It was not like, you know, some people would have accepted something and then they're like, I have 5 months, right? No, this was never, we were planning like her, she wanted to plan. First of all, she was a part of Women's Intermission and she was in the hospital and she's like, hey, when you come, we can have like, we can have a business meeting. I'm like, I'm not coming there to have a business meeting. What are you talking about? Like, we're not talking about the Women's Intermission.
That's what she was.
And that's exactly who she was, because even through all her stuff, she, like I said, she took on that whole funeral and planned that. And so, what was I saying? She was like, come, let's talk about what we're going to do for the next retreat. And I'm like, no, I'm not coming to talk about that. And then she was wanted to plan a vow renewal for January. That's what was it. So it was a shock. Yeah, that one. That. And there's no comparison. Like, I'm not going to compare. But I knew her long, you know, and that void was, that was like the person. But it still has to go back to, that's the difference between faith and trust. That's what God has been teaching me over the years. Faith is like, God, I'm going to believe in you for this. I'm believing you for healing. Yeah, you can do it. You did it for this person. I'm standing on your word. Trust is, I'm believing you. It did not go the way I wanted to go. It didn't even go the way your word said it would go.
Talk about it.
But I'm going to still trust you, because what else am I going to do? There's like, so I think my back is just against the wall. Like, okay, we're here. You're literally the only person that can dig me out of this hole right now. Like, so what other choice do I have? So it was not like, there's so much emotions involved. So it's not even like, I'm just this strong. No, there's no other choice. What other choice do I have? Like, you know, that song that says, I can't just give up now. Like, what am I going to turn to? Right? And I remember like a revelation I got a few years back was like, that one time when you feel like Jesus is not to be trusted. God is not to be trusted. That's the time you need to trust him. Because what are you doing? Like, why? Like, what's happening? And what is all of this? Like, what is all of this about? And that's a one time. You know, and then if we take it out, change the perspective again, what are we here to gain? So now if I take myself out of it and I think about them both, you want to fulfill purpose? You want to leave a legacy? And you want to go to heaven? Didn't they do that? They left us out here trying to pay bills and stuff, but and we miss them. But we still have to be happy that they made it, right? And so it's hard. It's bittersweet. It's very bittersweet. But it goes back to, like, what is the message we want to send to our kids? Like, what is the... And I'm a strong believer of, you know, those memes that come on and say, Lord, just don't have me on the strong list for this year. I just want to just leave me. We've established. We're strong. Just let's ride. Let's just enjoy life a little bit, right? We're good. Give me some space. My daddy. I want that one. Not my daddy, my daddy package. But, like, jokes aside, when these things happen, you could choose to learn from it or you could not. You could choose to make something out of it. If I hadn't been burned out with Marie, there would not have been any women's intermission, right? And stuff like that. And there's a lot more coming. I can't talk about it right now, but God has also used this opportunity. I mean, should I even call it opportunity? Yeah, like, it sounds so bad, you know, but you know what I mean. Use these tragic situations to show me what he really wants me to do. And so the book of the month we're reading at church right now, I started to tell you about it, Failing Forward, right? And he's in the book, I don't know what chapter it is, but he's talking now about, like, all these people that got big names that are out there, they went through some tragedy, and that's the difference between, I'm not telling you to want tragedy, please don't take me wrong, don't take me the wrong way, but it's that kind of thing that motivates me, like, you could get through this. You can get through this. You can absolutely get through this. There are people depending on you. Something good has to come out of it. I hold on to some of the nuggets we learn at church. Like, turn your pain, make some money from your pain. Yeah. I'm not ashamed. No. Make some money from your pain. Absolutely. Find a seed within the situation. Or I don't remember the exact words we use. Find a seed and plant it and water it and figure out what it is. Okay, this happened. Oh, I don't like it. I'm crying. And also, you cry, but you move. Like, there's crying days. Because I'm like, it's so funny. My husband will probably be looking at me like, what is your problem? And I'm just like, you don't even, like, this is not what you saw. You're supposed to respond to when I say that. And then I have nobody to call who will give me the response I want. Right? But then we move. We still move. We have to. Like, we still have to move. And I have great examples. Great examples in our pastors and my mom and whatever, and I have great examples to look up to. So that is what it's been rough, but and I'm like, no, there must be beauty for all these ashes. There must be beauty, and it has to be. So I don't know where it is yet. I mean, I shouldn't say that. Some things are starting to bloom a little bit, but no, I want way more.
Yeah,
like way more.
I love that. I love that you said you want way more. Like, and I think that sometimes people are scared to be like, Lord, listen, I see what you didn't put me through. I see what I'm going through. And like, God doesn't always put us through that. But I love that you said that there's beauty in the lesson. Like, you know, there just is. And I think for me, even like just for you to be like, I know some of the things that the Lord is using you for now, which is going to bless and help so many people around the world. And just me being in close proximity to you. And I know that the healing that a lot of things that you've gone through have brought me in the words and your companionship and just being around you and just like kicking it or just like talking or, you know, how that's like blessed me and just having, and it's beautiful, but it's tragic at the same time. And I love that. I think it's opened you up more too. I think it's definitely opened you up for as a person too. And I think that's important. And I love that. And I love that you have like great support. And you know, if you're listening and you have great support, I know sometimes like we can become, we become hard on the people around us that are just trying to help us, especially if they're good people. Like, love on those people. Like, love on yourself. Like, spend time away, because you need to get that time, even if it's 5 minutes a day. Like, just do something for you. That's important. Like, it's not selfish. It's something that you need to do to keep moving. And it's okay to cry, and it's okay to have dark days, and it's okay to, like, feel like your world is crumbling. I think a lot of times people try to be strong. Like, you gotta, like, when your body's like, okay, you need to relax, you gotta let it relax. Like, you need to take that time for yourself. And yeah, like, oh man, Marina, we just miss them so much. And you feel the gap, because I remember I was petrified to drive. You guys know that. Like, I was just, like, scared to drive. And I didn't want to do it. And I didn't want to think about it anymore, because I'd be essentially become the laughing stock. Like, of, like, yeah, you're grown. You don't drive. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I went, honestly, like, I don't think people know how traumatic and tragic, like, that alone caused me. Like, a lot of shame, a lot of, you know, like, a lot of pain. I know it sounds, like, trivial to what we're talking about, but everybody has, like, their own thing. And I remember my sweet sis, she calls me one day, and she's like, I'm like, what's up, Ashton? She's like, girl, do you know how many times I failed my driver's license test? And I'm like, how much times? She's like, more than 11. She's like, we gonna get this driver's license. And I'm like, girl, I've tried it. This girl, I give up. And she's just like, no, like, we're gonna do it. She drove from her home, picked me up. We went to Starbucks. I didn't have a choice. She's like, I'm downstairs, come down. Went to Starbucks. We sat there. Like, she loved on me the way I need to be loved. I'm a communicator. That's major for me. She didn't come and bring the book and was like, okay, this is what you need to do. That. She just talked to me about why I felt this way, why I was discouraged. Just complete, absolute love. No judgment, no nothing. Just like, babe, you could do this. I got you. You're smart. Come on, stop this. Like, you could do this. Like, literally to the point where we didn't even study that time. But after that, she sent me, like, an entire strategy on how to study and how to get this driver's test. And she was determined, way determined than me, because I didn't care. And she's like, girl, I know you don't care, but I care. She's like, you know, she was just that person. And to lose, like not lose, but to not have those people on earth with you, when it's like, who do we do life with? Like God, you took what... And for me, like, I'm major, because I know, like, we're in a society right now, people, like, you know, don't value human beings. Like, you know what I mean? They don't value friendship. It's like, ah, whatever. Yeah, that's a friend. Like, I don't really need nobody. They teach you to be a lone wolf and it's demonic. It's not. You need real people. You need communion. And you can find that in church. You know what I mean? You can find that in, you know, good, safe places, of course. Please don't try to go find communion in a weird drug house or something. God forbid. But, like, you know, I'm just like, I love that, you know, these people that we've spoken about and just the things that you've been through have impacted you and changed you and molded you. I feel like you're a completely different woman. You are completely different, like, literally completely, like, a different version of you. It's really opened you up, and I love that for you. And I know that the Lord is just going to use you for so much, like, healing, because I think I know why you and Ashton are, you know what I mean, are sisters, like, blood, because she's a healer, you know what I mean? And I think people, yeah, like, if you just look at you from the outside, you just, like, you know, you look like a mommy, reserved, super beautiful, but just, like, super chill, cool. But there's so much to gain from you. And I see people drawing from you still every single day. It's just so interesting. I always see you, like, checking up on people and checking up on me and stuff. So I thank you for that. And I thank the Lord for that, because it's phenomenal, like, how the Lord has used you and how you've kept your faith. And that has blessed me and changed me and challenged me, because you've challenged me, like, no, sis, like, no, like, no, like, this is real. Like, you know, the Lord is real. Like, the word is real. Like, this is not the end for you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just being able to come out of something like that and still be able to be a beautiful hand for other people is just awesome. So now I want to talk about, so now you have Women's Intermission and you're helping other women, you know, reset, rejuvenate, and essentially heal, because that's what we get to do. Like, I went to a Women's Intermission where we just talked about love and marriage and self-love, and we got to do fun things and eat really good food and communion with other women. And my love tank was so full. I want you to talk about what's coming up for Women's Intermission. And And I want other people to also know that women's intuition is not only for believers. Like, there's a lot of believers that come, but it's, you know, because Shanda's a believer, I'm a believer. But it's not only for believers, it's communion. And I want you to really, like, not give your whole vision away, but what it is that you really want women's intuition to do this year. And I want you to talk about the conference that's coming up too.
Yeah, so this our next conference is like just in about a month here. So we're April 5th to the 7th, and this topic is balance, right? So it's pretty much we're talking about everybody's talking about sugar. Nobody wants to hear about sugar. Nobody wants to take their sugar, but yeah, we know. When you're busy and you have a lot going on, sugar's not helping you. So we have one of our dietitians coming in to talk about the effects of sugar on the body. We're talking about the effects of stress on the body. I learned firsthand that stress, any type of stress, good stress, bad stress, it stores in your body and it develops, it can develop into a disease. It can develop into pain, into so many different things, and we don't realize it. And we take on things that it ain't worth my stress no more. Right. So we're talking about that. We have a panel discussion with some very, very, I'm going to call them successful because I think they're successful and they're very busy, busy women. And we're just going to get some insight from them because, some are moms, some, run businesses, just different ages, different groups of different people, get their perspectives on how they find time for themselves. Because the first thing people will say is, I don't have time for myself. And, I'm going to say women. A lot of women will say, I don't have time for myself and I don't have the money for it. So somehow people are doing it while still succeeding, while still taking care of their family, because it's so important, right? So that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to get into some meditation, proper meditation, right? And I know a lot of, and like she said, this is not just for believers. This is for anybody. Like, this is not targeted to any age group, just moms. If you are a woman, you will be in the Edmonton area, April 5th through 7th. This is for you because you probably have some form of responsibility in your life. And we just want to keep that balance. There is a way to live a balanced life. Not every day is going to be perfect. You know, we're not trying to be like, look like social media and look like, you know, but there are ways to balance it because we want to fulfill our destiny. We want to, somebody else is relying on you fulfilling your destiny. And if you're burnt out, you're not going to, you know, you're holding someone else back. Yeah. Right. So that's what this, spring intermission. So it's the first one of the year. We usually meet 3 times a year. And that's what this one is about.
Okay. And I will be, of course, your host with the Moses. So I will be hosting the panel. I'll be along with another speaker, Lola. Okay. So please, I'm going to link. I love that your book is called Still Standing because girl, you are still standing and you're standing tall and you're standing mighty and you're standing fine, beautiful and divine. I see more kids in the future, babes. Yes, I do. I see more future. You don't look like you have a child. So yeah, beautiful. And okay. So I'm going to definitely link all the information, the registration for Women's Intermission. Come have fun, eat, look great. We're gonna like fellowship. Please, I'm gonna also link Still Standing and your in the comments in the podcast. So please like click these links, like buy the book, support, read, be blessed, be enlightened, and also come to Women's Intermission, like find somebody, meet somebody, find community. If you're not a believer and you don't go to church, listen, we're not going to be like, hey, give your life to Christ at the end. Okay. The Lord is, that's between you and Jesus. Jesus is on the move. Okay. But he wants you to come and be loved on, to eat, to fellowship, wellness, learn about your health, your mental health, your emotional health. It matters. So that's really, really important. So what's okay? Give me, I'm going to ask you, cause we started with icebreakers and I want you to tell me 3 things that have helped you to continue to still stand. 3 things. That have helped you to continue to still stand?
So I think I've said this throughout, so I'll just reiterate. I think the number one is literally my faith in God. Then the trust. Let's say trust. Trust in God. And knowing that, like that actual believing that whatever he has said, whatever word, whatever he wants me to fulfill must still happen, will still happen. So that trust in him that if it's, If it doesn't look good, then it's no way it could be the end. So there's great to come. That's one. I don't know if I lump all this together. Support from everywhere. Support from my parents, my spiritual parents, support from church, like my church family. Like, we don't have enough time. That's another conversation for a whole nother day. But I just have to lump it all in there, because if not, I don't know how to break it up. Yeah. But that support, those prayers when you don't know someone is even praying for you, that. And then, and you're asking me, and I may change my mind if I think about this for an hour, but my last one I'll say is my kids, my family, my immediate family. I want to be a good example for them. Not perfect. Mess up a lot of times, a lot of times a day. But there's a message I want them to understand. If there's one message I want them to understand, is you could be anything you want. You could do anything you want. And you can get through anything that happens. So that's having them look up to me, even when we fight, is like, no, if I want them to remember, if this is what I want and it's far-fetched, I can still get there. Even if this thing happens, and even if that thing happens, and even if this thing happens. So I think knowing that they're looking up, and knowing that they've experienced along with us what they have experienced is, so those three things I think is what I would say.
I love that. And yeah, that brings us to an end. Thank you. Honestly, I think that we don't thank each other enough. We don't, as humans, we don't, but thank you for opening up. Thank you for sharing your beautiful story. I feel like that's just like a quarter of your story. But like I said, get still standing. Come to Women's Intermission. Thank you for being a community leader, because that's what you are. An amazing business owner. An amazing massage therapist. Thank you. I've had some divine massages from you. So if you are looking for massages, we'll link that in the bio for you guys too. If you go on her Instagram, y'all find all that good stuff, because she does a lot. And just thank you for being a good friend. Thank you for being a friend. Thank you so much for being a good friend. Honestly, I could really rely on you. Like, I could trust you. I tell you a lot of things that people don't know. You just be looking at me like, girl. Thank you for being a safe space. And that's why I have you on Emotional Conversations with Esther, because this is a safe space where we foster love, healing, emotional healing, mental healing, holistic healing. And our Father Jesus steers the way. So yeah, like, just thank you for that. And yeah, thank you for taking part of this conversation with me. Got emotional, but I love you. And what's coming next for emotional conversations with Esther? We're going to have some. So this is, of course, Women's International Month, March 8th. This episode will drop. Okay, and it's going to start off the series. I have three other beautiful, powerful women that are going to be on this series. We're just going to talk and get to know their series from different, their life from different perspectives. Like, share, subscribe, let all your friends know. Follow Sharanda. I'm going to link her Instagram bio behind. It's been fun. We're out.